Welcome to the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business Podcast. I'm Melissa Lieberman, a fellow IC and business coach. On this podcast, I teach you to become a consistently booked independent consultant without becoming a pushy salesperson or working 24/7. If I can do it, you can too. Listen on to find out how. Welcome to episode 150 of the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business Podcast. This is Melissa Lieberman, and I'm excited you're here today. This is an important topic we're going to be talking about for you as a business owner. So oftentimes when we are employees, we don't have to make the types of decisions that we're going to walk through today. And so this is important as a business owner to know what this looks like for you in your business, how to decide if you're going to stick with a new strategy when it feels like it's not working, and when to decide that it's time to make a pivot, that you've given that strategy long enough and it's, for whatever reason, it might not work and it's time to change course. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. The first thing I need to say, though, before we dive in is I have a cold. I have something going on here. So my voice is a little scratchy. Just need to tell you why. My family has been sick probably for the last, 6 weeks or something. And I thought I had escaped it, but I did not. I think the combination of just lots of germs this time of year and also not sleeping as much as I normally do as I'm finishing up this book, everything's kind of coming together. And I did come down with a cold. So here we are. I just wanted to let you know why my voice sounded a little scratchy. And speaking of the book, it is coming out tomorrow. So as of the time I'm recording this episode will go live on January 25th, which is Thursday, and the book will come out tomorrow, which is January 26th. So I'm excited for you to go grab it if you want to see what it's all about. The title is Grow Your Consulting Business, the 14-step roadmap to make your independent consulting dreams a reality. That is the title. I'm super excited for you to read it. It's been a labor of love and so much in there that will help you to get your business off the ground if you're newer, or to really refine your business and achieve the next goal that you want to be achieving as you move the business forward and really grow it into that big vision that you've got for yourself. And that's really what we're talking about today too, which is as you are evolving your business and growing it and moving it forward to that big vision that you've set for yourself, whether it's really firm and clear or a general direction, part of that is going to take implementing and testing out new strategies in your business. And when we do that, it's very common not to get immediate results. You make a change and you are expecting a certain outcome, and it is common that that outcome won't come as quickly as you want it to. And you won't have any evidence that what you're changing is working. And then you start to question whether or not the change you're making is going to work for you in your business. And then if you're like a lot of consultants, you end up going back to what was working and continue this sort of loop in the sense of creating the same result that you've been creating over and over again, instead of being able to break free from that and evolve the business into that big vision that you've got. So that's what we're talking about today. A couple of examples just to set the tone here. If you think about it, one of the common changes that consultants love to make is to move away from relying on word of mouth and referrals and even recruiters or other people to create leads and start moving into directly creating leads for themselves. That's a common change point in an independent consultant's business. And so that's the type of change that we're talking about today. When you start making that change, wanting to pivot away from relying on word of mouth and referrals, and you start creating a more direct method of lead generation and you're not seeing the results that you want to be seeing yet, how do you know when to pivot or persevere with that strategy that you're implementing? Or another example that may resonate with you, perhaps you've been doing more implementation, execution heavy type service offerings with your clients, and you want to move into higher level advisory and strategy type work that's not as intense in terms of the delivery, where you've got one or two retainer type clients and have some more predictable revenue every month. Maybe that's the type of change that you're trying to make in your business and you're not seeing the results as quickly as you want. And you start asking yourself, is this going to work for me? Should I keep going or should I pivot here? What should I be doing in order to figure out what the next best step is? So hopefully that gives you some context and a few examples as we go through today's episode to think about whatever the change is, the current change you're working on in your business or the next change that you want to make in your business, the next evolution you want to make in your business. You're invariably going to hit a point at which you look in the mirror and say, is this going to work for me? Maybe I can't make this particular change work in my business or in my industry or me personally. Should I keep going or is it basically me trying to pursue something that's never going to work? That's what I want to help you with today. So let's talk about the agenda and then we will move on to the very specific content. So today the agenda is going to be at a high level, just painting the picture. Today we're going to go through, I'll use a very specific example. So I'm going to paint the picture of that example for you about how long to stick with the change you're making in your business. And then I'm going to share with you two approaches that consultants commonly use when they're trying to decide to pivot or persevere with a change that they're making that you want to avoid. So the two things you want to avoid that are very common. And then finally, I'm going to share with you a 5-part framework that you can use to make it so much more clear about whether it's time to pivot or whether it's time to keep going, so that you don't have to have a lot of the second guessing and wondering if what you're doing is going to work or not. All right, so that is our agenda for today. Before we dive in, I wanted to share with you a companion resource that goes along really well with this episode today, and that is the Consultant's Business Growth Assessment. So it walks you through a series of questions. I think there's around 15 very simple, straightforward questions that will help you to understand and pinpoint the biggest opportunities that you've got in your business right now to break through the plateau that you may have hit and continue forward toward your growth goals, toward achieving your growth goals. So I really appreciate when consultants write back and tell me how the assessment went for them. And oftentimes I hear, you know, even just reading the questions and thinking about my business in a different way because of those questions was incredibly valuable, let alone the results of the scorecard themselves. So I highly recommend you go and take this periodically every quarter or so. So if you've already taken it, go back and do it. Or if it's new to you, we'll give you a really important baseline for you and your business as you look forward to growing your business in some form or fashion, whether it's revenue growth or growth and evolution in the type of services you're offering, whether it's shifting in your pricing, whatever it is for you, it touches on the pillars of growing a consulting business. So you can go find that assessment at IC, the two letters IC for independent consultant scorecard.com. All right, so now let's paint the picture here. Let's paint the picture by using an example that you may relate to, because most of us hit this point in our business at some point or another. So I want to use this as an example against which then we're going to talk about what are the mistakes that you don't want to avoid making when you're thinking about pivoting or persevering. And then we'll also use this example as I walk you through the framework. As an example, you can use this framework that I'm going to be sharing with you for any type of change you want to make in your business. but I want to dig into this specific example today to make the episode more tangible. And that example is, imagine this. You've made a change with your lead generation method, and you want to start landing clients directly instead of relying on word of mouth, instead of relying on referrals, instead of relying on maybe marketplaces or recruiters. You want to have more direct control over what's in your pipeline, the nature of the work in your pipeline, the type of clients that are in your pipeline, so they're closer to the ideal that you want to be working with. And so because of that goal, imagine that you've started working on a combination of inbound and outbound lead generation activities, such as networking, outbound, speaking, inbound, and starting to put that ecosystem in place so that you have more control and more power over what's in your pipeline, and you don't feel that you're relying on other people or other businesses or feeling at the mercy of your past clients who are referring people to you. That doesn't mean you need to shut off those other avenues, but you really want more control over your pipeline. So Matt, this is the example that we're going to be using today. And so you start off on this process of generating leads, both inbound and outbound, a combination, and your pipeline is still empty. And you've been doing this for maybe even a month or 2 months, and your pipeline is empty. You get a spark here and there, but you don't see any true result from this activity. And so you start to question whether it's smart for you to continue with what you're doing or to make a pivot. And of course, you would question this. You don't want to do something that's not going to work out. You don't want to do something that's not smart for you and your business. You don't want to lose that time and effort. And quite frankly, especially with this type of an example, you might start feeling the increasing pressure because you don't see the money in your pipeline and you worry about the longevity of your business and your ability to sustain the change financially. And so you start to ask yourself, how do I know if I should keep going or not? Or do I need to make a change? Do I need to go back to what was working? Do I need to go back and get a full-time role? Those questions become louder and louder and louder as you move forward. And so I want to take this example and help you walk through a framework to figure out whether or not it is time to make a pivot or whether it's time to keep sticking it out and get yourself to the place where you're going across the goal line. So again, this is a lead generation example. If this is what you're working on right now, then it's a perfect example for you. Or you may be making a different shift in your business, such as a change in the types of services you're offering, or the types of clients that you're wanting to work with, or the types of decision makers that you want to engage with, or the rates that you're charging, your pricing, whatever it is. Think about this example and how, and the framework that I'm about to share with you and how it applies to you in your business. We're going to keep going with the lead generation example. So now that we've painted the picture of what we're talking about here and this concept of pivot or persevere, the first thing I want to do is take off the table the two things that I find most often we do as independent consultants and potentially just as humans in general, and take those off the table because this is what we don't want to be doing. These two common approaches that we did not to take. The first is not defining a clear experiment. And by that, I mean, you might have decided you want to make a change, such as the lead gen change we're talking about, right? You might have decided, I want to shift from having more word of mouth and referrals and reliance on other people to generate my leads, and I want to have more direct control over those leads. And so if you're like most of us as a human, you're going to dive in and you're going to feel excited and optimistic. But when you haven't defined a clear experiment for this change, then you don't have anything to evaluate against and along the way. And it becomes much more of an emotional evaluation based on how you're feeling versus the actual hard and true facts. So let me tell you more about what I mean by this. So the first of those common approaches not to take is when you don't have a clear experiment defined. So what that means is you decided to make a change. In this example, you're wanting to have more control over your leads, the source of your leads, but you don't define a very specific set of criteria against which you're going to manage that change. So for example, you might not have defined a specific set of time. Like, I'm going to give myself 6 months to make this change. I'm going to give myself 3 months to make this change. By the end of that time, my pipeline should have $500K in it, or my pipeline should have $1 million in it. In order to get there, I'm going to have 10 conversations per week. And out of every 10 conversations, two of those are going to turn into leads. And out of every two leads, one of them, I'm going to have a 50% close rate. So one of them is going to turn into a client. Those types of specifics. This is you setting up your hypothesis of what it is you believe will work. We don't know for sure, but we need something very tangible and specific to test out. And this is a little bit of a preview of what the five-part framework is. But so many of us just go off setting off on making a change, having a high-level goal without all of those details built up underneath it. And we start off with excitement and optimism, and then we quickly allow the emotions to take over, which is very common. That's what our brain is designed to do. Our brain as a human is designed to keep the status quo, even though logically you don't want to keep this, you want to shift. You don't want the status quo, but your brain is designed to keep that status quo because it's the most familiar and feels the safest. And so when you don't define a clear experiment, you're leaving everything up to emotion. The second most common approach, second of the two most common approaches, I should say, is letting questioning and second guessing run the show. So you want to make a change to your business. You've decided to make a change to your business. In our example, we've decided to change our lead generation so we have more control over it. And then you allow the second guessing to run the show by questioning if the change you want to make will work. When that initial excitement wears off, as it will, and you start questioning if the change you want to make will work, you start questioning if you can make the change work. Do you have what it takes? You start questioning if the change will work in your industry or for your types of clients. And as a result, you spend a lot of time and mental energy in that space instead of in the space of figuring out how to make it work. So these are the two very common approaches that often trip up consultants and cause them to go back to doing things the way that they were before and not moving through to get to the place where the change is working and you can make it stick. And then you can build upon that as a next stepping stone and move to the next change and the next change and the next change. And pretty soon your vision has come to life. So those are the approaches we want to avoid. And I'm going to share with you how to do that by this five-part framework of how to set yourself up to make a change in your business, to achieve a goal that you've got in your business, and then how to figure out if that change isn't working the way that you thought it would, which, by the way, most of them don't. If it was easy to make the change, you would have probably made it by now. So how, when you're in the process of making that change, how to figure out, there's no cut and dry answer here. This is an art, not a science. How to figure out when to keep going, because it's just around the corner that at the point at which it's going to work versus, you know what, I don't think this specific change is going to work. I'm going to have to pivot and figure out something new. So that's the five-part framework that I want to share with you to help you figure, make that decision. And again, this is on you, my friend. This is on you. You're no longer an employee where the CEO or the executive team is making those types of decisions, which, by the way, a lot of times they avoid too, making explicitly. This is on you. You get to decide what your business is and what you're going to pursue and what you're not going to pursue. And so I want to make sure that you're doing it in a very explicit way that will best set you up for success. So here are the five parts of this framework, the pivot or persevere framework. Number one, you want to define the specific change you want to achieve. Get clear. It might sound like in the next 5 months, so on XYZ date, 60% of my business will come from my own direct leads, while the other 40% is coming from word of mouth and my existing sources. That's an example. Very clear. 60% of my business will come from my own direct leads that I've created through networking and speaking by XYZ date. Very specific. Then the next step you want to take, step number two, is to establish the hypothesis. The hypothesis, how do you think you're going to get there? To get to the point where, for example, 60% of your business is coming from your own direct leads. It might sound like I'm going to have 5 networking calls a week. I'm going to attend XYZ events once a quarter. I'm going to do 1 speaking engagement per month. That's an example of what you might have in a hypothesis in order to create that pipeline. I should even go back to step one in that example to make it more clear, even more specific, which is, let's say 60% of your business will come from your own direct leads at a value of a pipeline of 500K or 750K, and I'll have that by XYZ date. See, even more specific. And then you get to the second step, which is establishing the hypothesis with those exact activities that I just walked you through as an example. So you're going to have so many networking calls a week. You're going to attend so many events per quarter. You're going to have so many speaking engagements per month. Like really specific to get to the numbers that you built when you designed the goal that you're trying to achieve. The other component of your hypothesis is important to have your mindset. So you might be saying to yourself, I'm also going to spend 90% of my time. So now we're still in the hypothesis. I'm going to spend 90% of my time thinking like the business owner who's already achieved this outcome. So I'm going to do XYZ activities. That's the networking, the going to the events, the speaking. And I'm also going to spend 90% of my time thinking like the business owner who's already achieved this. That's the hypothesis. Over the next 5 months, those are the things I'm going to do because I believe that's going to create the result that I'm looking for. So that's step number two, establishing your hypothesis at a very detailed level. Now, the third step might sound very simple, and it is, but it's not easy. And that is the step number three is to commit for that period of time and decide that you're going to make this work no matter what. And decide that you're not going to second guess yourself or the process that you've defined for that period of time. You're committing, which means you're cutting off all the other options. That's an incredibly important step here. A lot of times we go into these processes, into these changes that we want to make, and we're wavering. I hope this is going to work. I think this is going to work. We'll see if this is going to work. That's not the mindset that you want to be approaching this change with. You want to go into this change to say, for the next 5 months, I'm all in. And when self-doubt or second guessing creeps in, I'm going to acknowledge it, but I'm not going to let that run the show. So that's step number three, committing, which means cutting off all other options. Step number four is implementing the change. So you're implementing whatever it is that you designed in your hypothesis. You're putting the routines in place. You're scheduling the time on your calendar. You're making it a priority. You're not just assuming it'll fit in somehow. You're centering and adjusting the way you're approaching your business to directly reflect the goal that you've set forth. And then the fifth step, which is another incredibly important step of this process, that many consultants overlook, or they think it's kind of a nice to have, so they do it every now and then, or even just halfway do it. This fifth step is where everything in terms of success or not succeeding comes into play, and that's evaluating. This is incredibly important. You're not going to get the immediate result that you're looking for 99 times out of 100. It's going to take some testing. It's going to take some iterating. It's going to take some adjusting. It's going to take some refinement at a micro level. Let's take our lead generation process again. Let's say you're going out and you're wanting to make more direct leads, like the example we've been using today, and you start networking a lot more than you had been. And those networking conversations, while they're friendly and nice and feel great to connect with other people, aren't going anywhere. You want to really dig into that and figure out why. What are you saying at the end of the conversation? What is your tone? What is the emotional state that you're in? Is it feeling a little bit awkward and tentative? Or is it feeling confident and clear about what it is that you're wanting to offer or recommend as a next step? Thinking through each, or are you going in a little bit needy versus thinking about yourself and adding value to that conversation without attachment to the outcome? There's so many different nuances here within the changes you're trying to make. And that's why this fifth step of evaluating is so incredibly important. You want to be evaluating after each action that you take relative to this change you're trying to make. So for example, after every single networking conversation, you're having a detailed evaluation about how that conversation went and what might you do in the future to continue to adjust it and refine it for the next set of conversations to inform that. So that's an activity-based and action-based evaluation. You also want to be evaluating once a week. How are things going against my plan? What's working? What else do I want to shift, try and test within the experiment or the hypothesis you've set forward? Not a whole new thing, but what are the refinements you want to make within the test you're running? The other two questions that I'll share with you that are important to ask in that weekly evaluation: what percent of you, of the time were you fully committed without second guessing? It's going to be hard to be 100%. But it's really good to know, were you at 50%? If you were at 50%, how do you get it to be 75% next week? Asking yourself those types of questions is really important so you understand the mindset against which you're operating this experiment. The other question, this might sound very weird, very strange, but I'm telling you, it's really important. And that is, what percent of you this past week, for example, if you're doing an evaluation, a weekly evaluation, what percent of you wants to make this work? You might say, well, Melissa, I'm not doing it. It's 100%. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. You've got to get honest with yourself. A lot of times, this is less than 100%, maybe even 20% or 50%. What percent of you truly wants to make this change work? It might be 50% because you've got fear about, okay, well, I'm going to generate these leads, but then I don't know how to, I'm going to sell them. I've been used to word of mouth. I don't know what I'm going to do with this lead if I sell it, or if I land the lead, create the lead, right? So those are important things to understand, because a lot of time our brain is a little bit ahead of us thinking about, okay, what happens when I actually get this result that I want? What's going to happen? It's probably based in some kind of fear around, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get this thing. So let me just keep generating the results that I've been having because those are familiar. So asking yourself this question this week, what percentage of you wants the change that you're trying to make work and why? And getting honest with yourself to understand the mindset against which you're operating these changes and to identify areas of opportunity for you to continue improving and evolving the approach that you're taking. So as we wrap this up, those were the five steps of the framework. We'll put these in the show notes so you have those to reference as well. But you want to execute this full end-to-end process for yourself for the period of time that you committed to. In my example today, it was 5 months until you figure out at the very end of that 5 months, and you've gone through this process over and over again, and you've evaluated and you've recommitted, you've committed, you've recommitted, you've committed, you've recommitted, you've evaluated. Then at the end of that time frame, whatever the time frame was, I just gave you an example of 5 months. It could be any amount of time. It could be 2 months, it could be 7 months, whatever the number is. Then you decide again at that point, but it's only at that point. so that you're eliminating that second guessing along the way as much as you can in order to set yourself up for success. So that's what I have today for you, my friend, the framework for you to help to decide whether you should pivot or persevere in a change you're trying to make in your business, in a change you want to make in your business, in a change that you want to commit to making in your business, so that you can grow your business into that bigger vision that you've got set forward for yourself that you might be secretly nervous to share with anyone else, but it's been something that is in your mind that you want to achieve. And this is one of those fundamental building blocks to help you get there. All right. Thank you for tuning in. Go check out Amazon on Friday and look for the book. We'll put the link in the show notes once it's live. So if it's Thursday and you're looking for the link, it won't be there. But if it's after Friday, the 26th of January, 2024, it will be there. You can click on the link and go grab the book. I'm excited for you to see what I've been working on and for it to help you to grow your business. All right. Thanks for tuning in. And I will see you again next week. Take care. Thanks for joining me this week on the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business podcast. If you liked today's episode, I have three quick next steps for you. First, click subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to make sure you don't miss future episodes. Next, leave me a review in your podcast app so other independent consultants can find and benefit too. And finally, to put the ideas from today's episode into action, head over to melissalieberman.com for the show notes and more resources to help you grow your consulting practice from your first few projects into a full-fledged business. See you next week.